Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda on Wednesday, August 6, 2014. Episode 10.06, the AFC South Preview Show. I'll be giving you my take on the Indianapolis Colts, the Houston Texans, Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Tennessee Titans. But Brett Favre is back, and this may turn into the All Brett Favre Show. That's right, I can't laugh, but... Well, I want to share my thoughts on Brett Favre and him coming back to Green Bay and what that all means. Also, I'll talk about the Bears suspending tight end Martellus Bennett for a training camp fight.
What?
Running back David Wilson having to retire from football. HBO debuts Hard Knocks training camp with the Atlanta Falcons. Yawn. Plus, I'll share some sound bites from Dallas Cowboys training camp. And Jacksonville Jaguars offensive lineman Luke Bianco will join me on the show. All this coming up, but first, let's chop it in. Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. Ah, football is back, baby. That's right. This past weekend, the Hall of Fame game between the New York Giants and the Buffalo Bills kicked off the season. Interesting game that you see Eli Manning get sacked and fumble the ball again. But the Giants did win 17-14 over the Buffalo Bills, and it just got the party started. Everything started flowing again. You started pumped up. NFL.com just released their NFL Now product, which you can watch games for the biggest library of NFL videos on the planet. And that's how they're pimping that out. More preseason games this weekend. It's just getting bigger. I just cannot wait. Also with it, Fantasy football is back, and if you are brave enough to go up against me, Mr. Fantasy Football, I dare you, I challenge you to come out, bring it. There's just a handful of teams left to be claimed. Most leagues have already been filled up, but there's still a few teams out there. Go to NFLRNR.com or the Facebook and Twitter pages for links to signing up to play fantasy football against me. Right now, I'm going to take a break from football, though, and I'm into Game of Thrones right now. I just started Season 3. I'm trying to get caught up with all the seasons before Season 5 starts up here in a little bit. And it's just, the show is awesome. It is so cool that you find yourself always saying, like, what the blank? Or what did that just happen? Oh, my God, did that? Oh, no, they did not just kill that person. I mean, that you, the minute you start to like somebody and you're like, oh, I really like that person, boom, they're dead. They are gone. I mean, it is an amazing show. And my wife listens to the show. She's listening right now. I got to be quiet. I can't say this too loud, but I have crushes on all the women on the show. I mean, there are some bad blank women on the show. I'm talking about hotness, especially Emilia Clarke. She's a British actress. She plays Dany Targaryen, the mother of dragons, on Game of Thrones. And yeah, she's how you doing wherever you are, Emilia? All right, I'm shutting up because I said my wife listens to the show. So I'm going to get back to football. But if you have not seen Game of Thrones, you are missing out, my friends. Check it out. It is a good show. I'm just starting Season 3. They're all available on HBO Go. Go check it out. Do yourself a favor and watch it. Big news, though, and here it is. I'm going to let Frank Caliendo tell you about it.
My Brett Favre's back, and your defense is in trouble. Hey now, my Brett Favre's back.
That's right. Brett Favre is in the news again. Favre, the man, the dude of Green Bay, is coming back finally. After all these years, and finally after him retiring, not from the Green Bay Packers, but the Minnesota Vikings, it looks like Brett Favre is coming back to Green Bay. That's right, Packers general manager Ted Thompson saying it's great to have Brett back. And no, settle down. He's not coming back to play quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. They have Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers was quick to come out and say that he doesn't have any beef with Brett Favre, okay? Rodgers said, I've kind of been on the forefront of getting this thing done. You know, in my own way, I wanted to make sure my voice was out there and behind Brett coming back. And once again, it's not coming back to play, but coming back to be honored by Green Bay. And it's only right for the Green Bay Packers. They're going to honor him. They're going to enter him into the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame. And they are going to retire the number 4. He's going to have his number retired for the Green Bay Packers. That means you will never see another 4 for the Green Bay Packers. And it is only fitting. No one else could wear the number 4 like Brett Favre did in Green Bay. I congratulate Green Bay for kind of putting, you know, the past behind them, and Ted Thompson for making this happen. I salute them. I salute Brett Favre. Now, I was a big proponent of Brett Favre going out there, and if he felt that he still could play and the Green Bay Packers didn't want them to play for him, that they should let him go out there and play. And play he did. He went, played for the Jets, did great up until his shoulder got hurt, and then the Jets kind of fell out of the playoffs there. But then he went to Minnesota, and I was one of the first ones to buy a number 4 Minnesota Viking jersey. I was in Green Bay when Brett Favre came back as the opponent at Lambeau Field. That was really interesting to check that out. I loved every second of it. It was a great game. Brett Favre destroyed them. The Vikings went on to the NFC Championship game and eventually lost to the New Orleans Saints when they went on to win the Super Bowl and beat the Colts. But Brett Favre, you did it. You went out. You went out possibly the way you wanted to go out. It was probably not the best way to do it. I'm sure if Brett had to do it all over again, maybe he does it a little differently. But the good thing is that
my Brett Favre's back and your defense is in trouble. Hey now, my Brett Favre's back.
That's right. He is coming back to Green Bay. Congratulations to the Packers and to Brett Favre for retiring that jersey. Oh, now in a very interesting story coming out of Chicago, another NFC North foe. Martellus Bennett, the tight end for the Chicago Bears. He's journeyman tight end, I guess. He started with Dallas, then played a couple years with the New York Giants. Now he's with the Bears. Got suspended indefinitely by the team for an undetermined length of time for an altercation during a training camp practice.
What?
That's right, Emma. You heard me. He got suspended because he got in a fight at practice.
What?
I don't understand it. General Manager Phil Emery said that the team made a decision to fine and suspend Martellus Bennett for an undetermined length of time. He would not specify the amount of time or the amount of the fine. Said, here's what happened. He said that he was suspended for conduct detrimental to the team. Now, here's what happened. In case you have not seen the video, go out, Google it. Martellus Bennett can't fight. They were doing a full pad scrimmage, but players are not supposed to take other players to the ground. Okay, it's just not supposed to happen. Everybody knows that. You hit them, you wrap them up, but you don't actually tackle them. Well, Martellus Bennett caught a pass, and rookie cornerback Kyle Fuller kind of took him to the ground kind of hard. Bennett didn't like that. He got up. He tossed the football, grabbed the first-round draft pick Kyle Fuller, and slammed him. Literally, full-on body slammed him to the ground. It was almost a la WWE, kind of Hulk Hogan-ish, you know, British Bulldogs back in the day, just slammed him to the ground. It didn't look good. And, of course, all the teammates came in, made a big, huge thing about it, and there you go. Then after practice, it comes out that Martellus Bennett gets suspended. Now, look, I've been around my share of training camps, and I have seen my share of fisticuffs. Hey, I was at Dallas Cowboys training camp, okay? And Dez Bryant went across the middle, caught a pass. He got lit up by J.J. Wilcox, who knocked him down. Dez went at him. Wilcox full-on fisticuffs blows, threw blows at Dez Bryant. Did either player get suspended? No. I mean, you just saw Hard Knocks with the Atlanta Falcons. And like every other day, they were showing players going at each other and getting into fights. Have we heard of any Atlanta Falcons being suspended? No. Video from New York Giants training camp. Players going at it. No player suspension. There has got to be more to this story that we don't know, people. You don't just fine and suspend a player because he fought with somebody else at training camp. Now, yeah, maybe it was because it was the body slam. Maybe that's what they got upset about. But, I mean, when you're J.J. Wilcox, you should not be throwing punches at Dez Bryant. That is the livelihood of the Dallas Cowboys offense, okay? And so I don't understand. I mean, the Cowboys didn't go out and they suspended J.J. Wilcox. They did not do that. They know camp fights happen. Guys are out there struggling, fighting hard. They're working hard to try and make a football team. They're trying to get paid. If I make this team, I'm going to get paid, okay? And that's what they're doing. But to suspend them because they got into a little brawl during training camp fight, that makes absolutely no sense. That's why I feel that there's something else missing there. And only Marty B and the Chicago Bears know what's up. They know that maybe there's something else. They're not happy with what Martellus Bennett is doing there or something. But something else has got to be going on for Martellus Bennett to get suspended and fined for that camp fight. Simply unexplainable. Unexplainable to me. And I've been around plenty of training camps. Speaking of training camps, as I said, I was just spent a couple days this past weekend at Dallas Cowboys training camp in beautiful Oxnard, California, where, trust me, it was beautiful. Everything about the training camp was beautiful. I was there both days over the weekend, and, you know, there are things to like about the Dallas Cowboys football club, and there's things not to like. There's some things to dislike. Right now, what's hurting them on the defense front of the ball is just injuries. Brandon Carr wasn't there. First of all, my condolences to Carr and the Carr family. He was not at training camp because he was attending to personal matters. There was a death in his family. Maurice Claiborne, the second cornerback, had kind of tweaked his knee, so he took the day off. He was kind of working over on the side by himself. So that left Orlando Scandrick and B.J. Webb as the corners. So they were kind of already thin. And then J.J. Wilcox got in there, and he had to get sit down for a little bit because of the blows and stuff. So you look at the defense, and you're just like, look, on the offensive side of the ball, the Dallas Cowboys are going to be fine. They're going to be fine, okay? They will be okay. They're going to score, I kid you not, and this is not just Steven talking to be talking smack with the Dallas Cowboys. They're going to score 28 to 30 points per game, possibly even more. That's not a problem. They got, you know, with Witten and Dez and T. Williams, and, you know, you add to the mix now Dwayne Harris, this rookie, Devin Street's looking really good. DeMarco Murray's running the ball with authority. And the offensive line now has had a few years to gel. They're looking pretty good. They're opening some huge running holes. I think offensively they will be okay. But you got to look at the defense side of the ball. Injuries, injuries, injuries. And I had a chance to talk to Jason Garrett about those injuries, and I asked him how he has to get his team to just look past those injuries and continue playing football.
Yeah, you focus on getting better every day, and that's a theme for our football team. If we were 100% healthy with a full complement of players, that would be the message. And, you know, regardless of what happens to you, you have to strive to be your best. Prepare that way, physically, mentally, emotionally. Come out and practice. And, you know, we really try to focus on one day at a time, everybody trying to improve and with every opportunity that we get. And that's a huge emphasis for us and will continue to be.
And Jason Garrett really has his team really focusing on just moving on. You know, next guy's got to step up. And there's some young kids on that defense who, if they step up and they could play, you know, the thing is, everybody says the Dallas Cowboys defense is going to be bad. Well, we don't know. There's a whole bunch of young, unproven guys there. There's no household name. Yeah, the DeMarcus Ware and the Hatchers are gone, and they are. That's what happens in the NFL. So the next guys that they put in there got to step up. They lose Sean Lee to a season-ending injury. If these guys even play half as well as the Cowboys defense played last season, they will be okay. But that's what we're going to start finding out with preseason. I also asked Jason Garrett about the Dallas Cowboys coming to London, and here's what he had to say about that.
Excited about it. You know, I've been fortunate to be a part of a couple London games. They were in the preseason, so this will be a little bit different. But you know, I really believe they love football over there, and they're getting exposed to it more and more. And I think anybody who's associated with this game is excited to get over there and play.
I asked a lot of the Dallas Cowboy players about London and about making that trip and travel. And for the most part, everybody was excited. This is what tight end Jason Witten had to say about coming to London.
Well, it's tough. I mean, anytime you have to travel like that, it's tough. But, you know, I always say it doesn't matter where it's at, what day of the week. I mean, it's an opportunity to play football, and I think it'll be a neat experience for us. And, you know, when come Sunday afternoon, you're not worried about any of the other stuff, when, where, and how. It's just an opportunity to play. And so we'll get through that, and not really concerned. Playing for this organization a long time, there's a lot of different times you play and different days, and so you can't worry about that.
Anything in particular that you want to see coming over to London?
Oh, I don't know. I'll be probably, you know, it's not a vacation. I'm going to be getting ready for football. So maybe in the off season after we make a run, I can go over there for vacation.
I like how Jason answered that. He's not going over for vacation. He's going over to play some football, people. He's not really concerned about what there is to see in London. He's going to be there focused on the game. And I'm excited. I will be making that trip as well. I will be there for Cowboys Jacksonville in London. So that's going to be good. I'll be covering the game for Sky Sports. And it should be a good one. The ninth international series game played at Wembley. Just amazing. Amazing that there are going to be three games there this year. Finally, before I left camp, I had to stop by and interview Brandon Whedon. He's the backup quarterback. They brought him over from the Cleveland Browns. I believe after this interview, I left camp feeling a little bit better about their chances with Whedon as the backup quarterback.
Obviously, coming from a different team, you see distinct differences now being with the Dallas Cowboys, a team that's got a lot of focus on it.
Well, I think, from this perspective, when you talk about camp and the amount of people that come out and, you know, watch and stuff like that, and the media coverage is obviously, you know, quite a bit different. But I think, you know, I think one thing this organization has is stability. I mean, you got obviously the same owner for a long time. You know, Coach Garrett's been in place for a long time. A lot of these coaches have, you know, been around for a long time. So I think there's a lot of stability within the organization. I think that's huge. And, you know, unfortunately in Cleveland, that really wasn't the case. And so that was kind of one of the exciting parts about coming here.
How about for yourself personally, do you feel like maybe pressure's off you a little bit? You get to come in and just try to compete for a spot on the team?
Yeah, I mean, you know, playing the position we do, I mean, we're expected to do a lot. So there's always going to be the pressure. But I think, you know, in Cleveland, I was drafted as a rookie, you know, coming from a spread offense in college to a West Coast system in the NFL level, already had a learning curve, you know, to begin with. So, you know, there's a lot of expectations. I put a lot of pressure on myself. Maybe looking back, maybe a little bit too much, you know. But at the same time, playing this position, that's what's expected of you. So you got to go out and you got to do your part to live up. You know, everybody else is counting on you.
Do you have any idea, obviously first preseason game coming up this Thursday against the Chargers, any idea how much playing time you might see?
No, I haven't heard. No, I'm not sure, you know, how the reps are going to be split up. I mean, that'll probably be something Wednesday night. You know, this first game's
that's the way it is.
Yeah, well, the first few preseason games, there's not a whole lot of game planning. There's not a whole lot of, you know, film study. I mean, you watch them tape, but you're not, you know, the goal, you want to win. Everybody wants to win, but I think the main thing is go out and play well when you're out there and just function. You know, get the cobwebs out and get moving around and get hit a couple times and those types of things.
One thing that this team will do differently than most of the other teams in the NFL, this year you travel to London. How do you think that's going to play out for the season where you have to take such a big trip like that?
You know, I'm excited about it, to be honest with you. You know, obviously, the travel is extensive, so you got to plan accordingly. They give you the week off. You know, the following week is a week off, so that's huge. But I mean, once you're in the situation, your week, I'm not even sure, November, whatever week that is. I mean, you're setting such a flow of the season. I mean, week to week to week. I mean, you know, it'd be a nice little change up. But I think it's definitely something that is a little unique. You know, but at the same time, as a player, it's kind of fun.
And after that, I was very happy with how Brandon Weeden just handled himself, how he handled the drills when it was his turn to go out there and take the reps. And then during the blue-white scrimmage, he made some very nice passes. He completed some nice deep balls to Devin Street, a good rookie wide receiver there that the Dallas Cowboys have. So now, even though Kyle Orton is gone, I think with Weeden at the backup there, Dallas is certainly going to be okay. I don't think they will struggle at that position. So that's enough of Cowboys camp. Let's move on to our final story before we get to taking a look at the AFC North. And that is a kind of sad story, although, you know, cheering and supporting the Dallas Cowboys, you know, it's a New York Giants story. It has to do with running back David Wilson, who for all intents and purposes was forced to retire from the NFL. Wilson last year suffered a herniated disc in his neck during a game against the Philadelphia Eagles in October. And at that time, it was discovered that he had a spinal condition called diffuse cervical stenosis, which is a narrowing of the spinal cord. So the disc was removed, and his vertebrae was fused back in January of this year. And he was cleared to resume football activities, and he started training camp. But on July 31st, he took a hit, and he re-injured his neck during practice. And that was pretty much all she wrote. The doctors were like, it's time to hang up the cleats. And so today, David Wilson had a press conference. It was hard. I'm not going to lie. It was hard to see him talk about being forced to give up something that he loved to play. He did say that it wasn't all sad. He said, don't think I'm sad, as he's trying to fight back the tears. But he said, there's no need to dwell on the negative, because if you do, then you feel sorry for yourself and you're not living. I'm still healthy. I'll still be able to do the things that I could always do, except play football. So to David Wilson, good battler, a good running back there for the New York Giants. The Giants will be without him as he calls it quits and hangs up the cleats there. Pretty sad. Pretty sad. Young guy. I mean, this is only his third season in the league. And as I said, he had to miss most of last year with that neck injury. So we wish him well and whatever he goes on to do. But he will be out of the league. And finally, let's talk a little bit about Hard Knocks. Training camp with the Atlanta Falcons. Can you say yawn? Yawn. Elena's over here laughing at me because I'm saying, okay, can you say yawn?
Yawn.
It was a yawner of our first episode, man. I'm going to give the Atlanta Falcons a pass for that yawner of a first episode, but this could very well be the worst Hard Knocks ever. SB Nation, and this is not me talking, I'm just repeating what SB Nation called it. They called it the Boring Crusade. That's what they called it. Hard Knocks with the Atlanta Falcons, the Boring Crusade. Senior reporter for SB Nation covering the Atlanta Falcons, he basically recapped the premiere episode, and seriously, there's not a lot of drama. It's the Atlanta Falcons. They're pretty clean, crisp. The rookie that they're kind of focusing on, Devonta Freeman, a running back, kind of like similar to Giovanni Bernard from the year before, you know, going and finding his apartment. You had the veteran, I think it was Herman Douglas, I think. No, it was William Moore. I think it was William Moore. William Moore, who has this huge, massive house in Atlanta, and right smack dab in the middle of it is a palm tree. And that's why he bought the house, because there's a huge palm tree right smack dab in the middle of his living room, because he thought that was, like, so cool. Croy Bierman, the Bierman who apparently is married to this woman who is a reality star, and so they're doing, you know, she's a TV star for being a wife, and that's what we do here in America. We make people famous for doing nothing. But, you know, their reality show, Croy Bierman, and so they go from their living room, which looked almost like a museum, to him being out on the football field and training camp and immediately starting to get into fights. So that was a weird storyline to follow. I'm just not sure what HBO is going to do for another five episodes with this. I mean, there's only so many shots of the pretty, you know, reality star TV wife that you could show. Only so many fights that you can show. As I already talked about, no one's getting fined or suspended for that. There's no really sexy players. I think the altercation, Matt Ryan is rooming with Steven Jackson, and Matt Ryan apparently had put his clothes in Steven Jackson's room, and Steven Jackson kind of almost had a conniption fit because, hey, who took my room? And, okay, that was fun. But there's no story. There's no huge injury to keep track of. There's really no player that has kind of like the sex appeal that other players had in past Hard Knocks. I mean, Matt Ryan's a nice guy, but nobody really wants to just be like, hey, it's Matt Ryan. You know, they didn't focus at all on Roddy White and Julio Jones, who I thought they would spend a lot of time with. Then it was the rookie kind of initiation where they had to sing. That usually that's funny. I mean, that is funny stuff. You got some rookie players who are trying to get on the team, and they got to go through this initiation or they got to sing a song, and they were just dull. I mean, just dull. The funniest thing I think of this Hard Knocks first episode was when Coach Mike Smith started showing some pictures of. He said that he had asked people to take a picture of their bodies before at the end of last season, and they took a picture of their bodies again before coming to training camp this year, and they put up the kind of like the before and the after. And he's like, these guys really worked hard and they look fit. Look at them. And, you know, they show the dude and he's kind of chubby and now he's all like ripped and he's really worked out and stuff. Well, then they showed this one guy, I don't even know who it was. And they said, we wanted him to, lose some of his butt. And, then they showed him, him without his pants, and you just see his butt, a small butt. And, okay, that was a little funny. It cracked me up. But it's potty humor. You know, they had to resort to potty humor to get me to laugh. And that's not what Hard Knocks is about, people. So I think the Atlanta Falcons and HBO have got their work cut out for them if they want to make this season of Hard Knocks training camp with the Atlanta Falcons live up to stuff. Because reality TV star wife is just not going to cut it for me. All right, enough about that. It's time for a rant or rave, and today we've got a rave. I'm raving on the start of football, baby! The Hall of Fame game kicked it off, and it was good football when those starters were in there and they got after Eli Manning and they sacked him and Manning fumbled and the Bills went out. It was good stuff. It's just to see football. It's here. The wait is over, people. The wait is over. Yeah, they may not be meaningful games yet. It's just the preseason, but there are players out there hitting hard, going after each other, scoring touchdowns, running patterns, throwing the football, getting sacks. I love it. This is what we're here. This is why I do NFL rants and raves, to watch this stuff, to see this stuff, to analyze this stuff. It is here. I am on fuego. I literally am in fire right now because the rave cave, it's like 100 degrees. It's like 70 degrees outside of the cave, but in the cave, it's like 100. What can I get an assistant to turn on the air or something? My God, I need an assistant. So if you want to be an assistant just to turn on the air and bring me water and stuff, because I could use some water. Whew, man, it's hot in here. What is going on? How did my rave of the Hall of Fame game turn into a rant on how hot it is in the rave game? I'm sorry about that. I was a little off my game, people. I promise to get back on track. And I will get back on track with this segment as we take a look at the AFC South. And in the South, we'll start with the Houston Texans. Oh, man, before I get into the Texans, I don't know if you all have seen this yet. There's a video of running back Arian Foster. And Foster was, he had missed a couple practices, and he went back out to practice. And after practice, he was surrounded by about 7 or 8 reporters. And every question that the reporter asked him, Arian Foster responded with the following. Hey, I'm just out here trying to be the best teammate I can be. Next question. Hey, I'm just out here trying to be the best teammate I could be. Next question. You know, I'm just out here right now trying to be the best teammate I can be. Next question. You know, I'm just trying to be the best teammate I could be. And he went on for a good 12, 13 questions, answering exactly the same way. He fulfilled the requirements that the NFL put on players to make themselves available to media by making himself available to the media, but he didn't really say anything to the media other than, hey, I'm just trying to be the best teammate I could be. Until finally one of the reporters like, yep, you really got that answer down. And then he was like, okay, we're good. And then he left. So, you know, players like Arian Foster who kind of hate the media and hate the fans. Remember, he was the one who, I hate fantasy football players. They don't care about me. They just care about stats. Well, come on. Do you really care about anybody other than your family? I mean, I care about my family. All right, I'm not going to lie. I care about you, the listener of the show. I really do because I care that you listen. I try to put together the best show that I can do for you because you take the time to download my show and listen to it. But other than that, I don't think I really care. I don't care if you're a fantasy football player. I don't care about your stats. But if Arian Foster is on my fantasy football team, I do expect him to score touchdowns. That's why he got drafted, to score touchdowns. So he can't get mad. He can't get mad at the fans and at the media, too. I thought that was a little Bush League, and, it was similar to what Marshawn Lynch did last year during Media Day at the Super Bowl, where he kind of showed up because he was required to show up, but he didn't really say anything. So I think the NFL is going to have to start doing something to these players who they show up to do the interview because that's what's required of them, but then they don't say anything. So that's enough. I guess that was kind of a rant there on Arian Foster. But let's take a look at the Houston Texans. And all I can say about the Houston Texans is, I'm sorry. This is a quarterback-driven league. And right now you've got Ryan Fitzpatrick, Case Keenum, or Tom Savage. Let me repeat that. You've got Ryan Fitzpatrick, Case Keenum, or Tom Savage.
What?
That's right, Emma. Three guys that just are not going to cut it in this league. I don't care that you go in and you draft a Clowney. And I don't care that your defense is going to be spectacular. Unless your defense holds the opponents to 0 points, you're not going to win because you're not putting up any points yourself. Ugh. I'm sorry. The Ryan Fitzpatrick thing, it's played out. The Buffalo Bills tried that. They actually even tried to pay that guy some decent money, and it didn't work out. We saw what Case Keenum brought to the table last year when he replaced Matt Schaub. It's not good. And this was a team that last season didn't do all that well. Remember? The Houston Texans started on fire. They started last season 2-0, and everybody was like, yep, this is the Houston Texans that we all thought was going to show up. Well, they finished 2-14. That's not good. That's not very good at all. They finished dead last. They got the number one pick, and they were rewarded with Clowney, and that's good for them. But offensively, they've got an aging Arian Foster. They've got an aging Andre Johnson at wide receiver who he's not happy with the team. Remember, earlier this offseason, he was demanding a trade at one point. So, sorry, Houston Texans fan. I don't want to raid on your parade. I know that I asked, what do you guys want answered? And I see a lot of people who are asking, do I believe in the Clowney hype? And what are the chances of Ryan Fitzpatrick leading the Texans to the playoffs? So, here you go. Let me answer those two questions. Jesse, the chances of Ryan Fitzpatrick leading the Texans to the playoffs are zero. There is a 0%. Well, okay, let me scratch that, because technically there is a 1% chance if you're going to get out there and play football, there's a 1% chance of you leading the team. So there's 1%. There you go. 1% chance of Ryan Fitzpatrick leading the Texans to the playoffs. Do I believe the hype behind Clowney? No, I don't believe it. The Houston Texans needed to go offense. They needed to get somebody who was going to be the star of their team offensively for years to come. Instead, they decided to go defense. They've been down that road before with Mario Williams. It didn't work out. Mario Williams is now performing for another football team, the Buffalo Bills. And Houston's right back to where they are. I don't expect they will be as bad as they were last year. They were 2-14. They should improve on that. I see them maybe winning 5 or 6 games, but that is about all. Move on to the Indianapolis Colts. All right, come on, people. This team is bringing out Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck in his third season. That right there is reason enough to like this team. Plus, you get a healthy Reggie Wayne. He's back. You already had T.Y. Hilton, who played excellent last year in replace of Wayne. They added Hakeem Nicks to the mix. And then we've got a question here from Jeremy Smith, who says, will we see Trent Richardson redemption? And I say yes. I say Richardson's going to redeem himself. That trade last year with the Cleveland Browns, and everybody was like, ooh, the Colts didn't really get that good of a deal. People, it is tough to go into the National Football League mid-season and go from one team and one offensive mindset and go to another team and pick up a whole new entire offense and, boom, be productive. This year, he's going to have full training camp under his belt. He's had now a year and a half with the playbook under his belt. He is going to be a lot better, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts' running game is just as potent as their passing game. Add to that that they already had a pretty good defense, and they had a very good draft. The Indianapolis Colts will win this division with their eyes closed. I'm not kidding. They close their eyes every time they play Houston, Jacksonville, and Tennessee, and finish the season 6-0 in the division and win that division, just like they did last year. Last year, what, they won the division by like week 13 or something like that? Same thing. They could do the exact same thing this year because this division really is not going to pose a legitimate threat to the Indianapolis Colts. Moving on to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, I want to like this team. No, scratch that. I like the team. No, wait, scratch that. I really do want to like the team. I want to like the team. They have been really good to me. They've provided, you know, Luke Buaco is going to be coming on the show here in a little bit. A couple episodes ago, we had Paul Posluszny, main linebacker there for the Jags. They're good guys. They're a bunch of good guys. We play for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's just, they're not sexy. It's not a sexy team. All right? And if you have been listening to this show long enough, you know I want sexy from the team. I want them to be sexy. I want them to inspire me. I want them to come out of the tunnel and look hot. Be like, man, that's a team right there. Look, that is a bad blank team right there. I can't say what's the blank because I have an audience today. My daughter's here in the Rave Cave listening and watching me do the show. So I can't say some stuff that I would normally say, but that's what I want. And there's no sexy. They let their best offensive player, MJD, they let him walk. He's now with the Oakland Raiders. The Oakland Raiders got sexy. How in the world overnight did the Oakland Raiders get sexy? And the Jacksonville Jaguars just there's no one there. Now, I like Marquise Lee, even though he played for hated USC here in Los Angeles. That's an offensive weapon that maybe he could bring something to the table. But, you know, outside of Calvin Johnson, rookie wide receivers usually don't bring that much to the team. So you're left with a team that last season finished 4-12. I don't see how they got better. And I'll tell you why. They spent their third-round draft pick on Blake Bortles, who I like. I just don't like him at number 3 overall in the draft. And then he's coming in number 3 overall in the draft, and you've decided he doesn't get to start this year. We're going to play Chad Henne. Henne, for crying out loud. Oh, my goodness. That's where Jacksonville's at. I mean, they're at the crossroads. And I think that this team is going to get better. I really do. That's why I say I really want to like the team. I really want to like Jacksonville. And my captain's out there, Captain Brendan, how you doing? I hope you guys are good, and I hope you don't turn off the radio right now while you listen to me say, I just don't see much has changed in Jacksonville. They're getting better. They're getting a little bit better. So I'm going to give them 5 wins this year. Maybe they can sneak out 6. But they're not going to compete for the division. You just can't match the firepower of the Indianapolis Colts. Heck, Jacksonville right now, I'm not sure that they can match the firepower of the Tennessee Titans either. So they're looking to be third or fourth again in the AFC South. That's just how it is right now. But I think this team, if Blake Bortles pans out to be the guy they believe he was, that they drafted him in the third round, if he turns out to be that guy, then the Jacksonville Jaguars in the next couple years are going to be solid. But right now, not sexy, not solid, don't have much. Their offensive weapons right now, even though I like the tight end, it's just not there right now for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And defensively, they give up too many points. I mean, last year they gave up 449 points. 449. They gave up more points than the Dallas Cowboys gave up points last year. And you know the Cowboys gave up a lot of points. 449 for Jacksonville. They had a net point differential of -202. You're not going to win many games like that, and I don't see the improvement there from Jacksonville. So I think that they stay in third place, just slightly above the Houston Texans, but nowhere near Tennessee or Indianapolis. That brings us to the final team in the AFC North, the Tennessee Titans. And the Titans have some questions. They have some questions that need to get answered. First of all, you know, they decided to make do and get rid of Chris Johnson, their stud running back. Although he kind of like from time to time didn't run the ball as effectively or as well as they wanted. The bottom line is the guy could still run, and I think he is going to show a lot of people what he can still do. I think the New York Jets got a steal. The Jets wanted to be a ground and pound kind of a football team. I think they get to do that with Chris Johnson, so that's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. But the Tennessee Titans have a lot of question marks, and the first question mark starts with Jake Locker. This is his make-or-break season. Jake Locker's going into his third season here with the Tennessee Titans. He has had a little bit of injury. He's missed some games due to injury. But this is it. This is where you got to perform. He's going in now as the guy. Unquestionable. Just there's no doubt that he is the guy, especially with news coming out that they released Tyler Wilson. The Tennessee Titans released Tyler Wilson today. So with Wilson being out of the picture, this is Locker's team. Charlie Whitehurst most likely will be the backup, unless the rookie there, Mettenberger from LSU, wins the job. I don't see him doing that. But this is going to be Jake Locker's team, and he's not going to have anybody there where he has to look over his shoulder and see who's coming in to take my job. It's not going to be anyone. So it's his make-or-break season. If he struggles this year, the Tennessee Titans are going to have to cut their losses and move on. Because as I said early on when talking about the AFC South, this is a quarterback-driven league. And in a quarterback-driven league, you got to start there. You got to have someone who you believe is the guy. And right now, of the four teams in the AFC South, only the Indianapolis Colts have their guy in Andrew Luck. That's it. You got Luck competing against Fitzpatrick, Henny, and Locker, and it's clear cut. I'll take Luck any day of the week and three times on Sunday if you against the other three guys. So I think the Tennessee Titans will make a stand. They will be tough. They were 7-9 last year. They have the ability to probably be middle of the road again, 8-8, maybe 9-7. It's going to be difficult in the AFC to make the playoffs with a 9-7 record. But if they catch a break and the offense can gel a little bit, the Tennessee Titans should be at least up there near the top and be in consideration near at the end. I like Sankey, the Bishop Sankey, the running back that they picked in the second round. But they went kind of predominantly defense. I mean, defense was what they needed to focus on, and I think they focused on it pretty good. So the Tennessee Titans will have one final season, I think, with Jake Locker if he doesn't prove that he could be the guy. Right now, that's it with the AFC South. I think I like the Colts to take it again, and the Tennessee Titans will be there in second, and then Houston and Jacksonville will slug it out for the final position there in the AFC South. Before I break, I'm fortunate enough that the Jacksonville Jaguars allowed this gentleman to join me, so let's bring him in. All right, joining me right now from Jaguars training camp, Luke Bianco. How you doing, Luke?
Good. Enjoying my downtime here before afternoon meetings.
That's right. Are you still, have you adjusted to training camp life yet in the NFL?
Oh yeah, that's a quick learning curve there. You got to catch it before it eats you up.
What do you think is the hardest thing you've had to do so far in camp?
Probably just the mental aspect of, you know, going through the grind and having your mind working at every moment during the day and not having any, like, downtime. So it's a lot of mental reps on top of the physical stuff you're doing. That's the most difficult part, probably.
Right, Luke. So, Luke, you started games at center, left guard, and right guard during your career at Virginia. Is there one position you're focusing on with the Jacksonville Jaguars, or are you still kind of moving around trying to find a place to fit on the offensive line?
No, I mean, I'm moving around. Obviously, you know, they're looking for the best guys to go on the field. So a lot of guys play a lot of different positions and get to prove their worth. So that's a great opportunity, you know, for guys just being able to show how versatile they are. And, you know, getting reps at different positions during practice is pretty awesome opportunity.
So do you have time? Do you have time, like when you have some downtime, obviously, right now? Do you have time to watch any TV? Are you watching by any chance Hard Knocks with the Atlanta Falcons, or do you not want to see?
Yeah,
teams?
We did actually get to watch a little bit of that last night. Me and the roommate got to sit down and watch a little bit. It was fun to see, you know, what other guys are going through.
Well, what I witnessed is, you know, at the Falcons camp, and I was actually just at Cowboys training camp this past weekend, and Dez Bryant and J.J. Wilcox got into some fisticuffs there as well. There are a lot of fights that happen in training camp, man. You guys just get at it.
Yeah, I think it's just like, you know, people are going against each other for a couple days now, and everyone's just kind of ready to play someone new and get after a different guy in a different jersey. You know, that stuff happens in football. It's a physical game, and I don't think coaches mind it too much as long as it stays under control, but they like the competition, and you know, it's all in good fun, and you know, we try to, you know, keep it tight in the locker room and not make it personal.
All right. Have you been involved in any altercations yet in camp?
No, I've tried to keep my nose dry. I got enough to worry about.
You don't want to be the rookie that causes problems.
Knowing the players. Yeah, no.
All right. So I see from your Twitter account you're a big Zach Brown fan, huh?
Oh, yeah. And he was on last night. He's just crushing it.
Really? Any other artists that you like to listen to before either practice or a game to kind of get you amped up?
Not a lot of things consistently. It's just whatever the taste of the time is, I think. So, I guess right now, I mean, a lot of the guys are playing some of the new rap songs. I don't know what the heck they are, but they're pretty good. They get you vibing pretty good before practice.
All right, they get you moving. So there's not one go to. If I was to say, what is the go to song that you need to go to get you pumped? What would that be?
The go to song. Oh man. I don't think I have it. What's a good go to? Maybe Sandstorm.
All right.
It's a good song. I don't know if you heard that one.
I'm not sure.
Wild.
I'm with you. You know, some of these new rap songs, I'm just not sure what's going on there. You know,
dude, I don't know. There's horns. There's some gunshots. some good lyrics, and you know, it's pretty much just a beat. You know, it kind of fires you up a little bit.
All right, well, that's cool. So, listen, Luke, I'm not sure if you know, this year the Jaguars are coming back to London this year. They're going to play in what is the third International Series game this year. There's three games in London. How do you feel personally about making that trip, coming overseas to play football?
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. I've never been over there, so it'll be pretty interesting. The guys have said good things about it, and the whole week, and mentioned how the NFL puts on a good event over there. So I'm excited, but at the end of the day, it's another football game, and you got to perform. So it's just another venue, and we pride ourselves on being able to play anywhere, and that's the opportunity we got.
Right. Anything in particular you would like to see when you come over to London?
Oh man, I don't know if Miss Middleton will be over there. Maybe the Queen.
Are you talking about Pippa?
Prince Harry, I heard he has a good time. What's that?
I said, you talking about Pippa?
Yeah, Pippa. Pippa, sure. Is she still single?
What is it with NFL players and Pippa Middleton, man? I mean, I think you're the fourth guy I've had on that's asked me about Pippa.
I don't know. Pippa's a good-looking lady, but I know Prince Harry likes to have a good time. He's probably knows some good spots over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I tell you what, if they ever allow me to get near Pippa, I will throw in a good word for you, Luke.
Yeah, we're taking that up. You might have to fight me over it, but we'll see.
All right. Thank you very much for coming on. It's Luke Bowanco, rookie offensive lineman for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We wish you good luck with training camp. Hopefully we work hard and find a way to make that football team.
No doubt. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Luke. You have a good day.
Thanks, Steve. You too.
All right. That was a lot of fun. Luke Bowanco there of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Good sport there. But Pippa Middleton, man, I tell you. I think, Prince of Mukamura, he wanted to see if we had some connections with Pippa. So, I tell you what, man, these guys talk, apparently. Football players talk about women. So there you go. Pippa Middleton high on his list. But she's high on everybody's list, I guess. Now, before I let you go, I want to talk about some Facebook questions that I got. And David Bryson says, will Clowney be as good as predicted? And will he lack a decent number one QB? Well, what do you mean, will he lack? Okay, I think I know what he's saying. Will the Texans miss the playoffs again because they're going to lack a number one QB? You heard me rant and rave during the AFC South segment about that very point. Doesn't matter how good Clowney is, unless he's going to score points for the defense, and Houston is going to score points defensively, I don't see how they win many games. Lucas asks, on a scale of 1 to 10, how upset will the Jags be when the other three teams in the division play squads comprised solely of spectators from the stands and the Jags go 0-6 in the South? I'm not sure I get that question either. Who vetted these questions, man? I don't know. I mean, the other teams aren't going to play spectators, but they certainly aren't going to play hard squads. I guess, I mean, the Jags, if you're talking about the other three teams in the divisions, the Jags will get a shot at Houston and Tennessee as well. They'll win a couple of those. I don't see Jacksonville going 0-6 in the South, not this year. And then Jeremy Smith asks, is Reggie Wayne still a top five wide receiver? I don't know about top five, but he's certainly in the top 10. We'll see. Coming off of a torn ACL, that's no joke, man. I mean, I've seen guys, you know, you've seen guys like Adrian Peterson come back and be stronger, but you see guys who come back and they tear it again. So I'm not sure which Reggie Wayne we're going to get. Everything I've heard from training camp is that he has come back and he has looked fantastic. He doesn't look like he's coming off of an injury. So I still, just because of the, you know, the Calvin Johnsons and the Dez Bryants and the A.J. Greens of the world, I'm just not sure he's in the top five with those guys, but certainly top 10 wide receiver he can still be. And you got to remember, he's still got T.Y. Hilton there on his team. So Reggie Wayne, they may not have to focus too much on him. Then one final question. D. Omagia asks, in order, which team has the best running game? Ooh, that's a good question. In this division, you got to like the Houston Texans. They've got Arian Foster still, and when he is healthy, he is a really good running back. But they also have Jonathan Grimes, who they picked up, is a really good running back. So I would go one, Houston Texans. Then I like the Indianapolis Colts simply because I believe that Trent Richardson is going to be a force to be reckoned with. They've picked up Ahmad Bradshaw from the New York Giants. They have Vic Ballard as well. So I think their trio of running backs are going to be pretty impressive. After that, you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Their addition of Toby Gerhardt, who they brought in from the Minnesota Vikings, and Jordan Todman, who looked pretty good playing in his stint last year. And they've got a pair of rookies there that could run the football pretty well. So that would probably be three. And then bringing up the rear, I would say leaves the Tennessee Titans, even though they got Sean Green and Jackie Battle and Leon Washington. Those three guys are near the end of their careers. I think they're each been in the league for 7 years each or longer. So they've certainly lost a step, and they don't have the two young guys. I don't think they might even not make the team. So in order, it would be Houston, Indy, Jacksonville, and Tennessee. Just kind of leave them in alphabetical order. There you go. That's the way I like that. And that is the final question that I have from Facebook. I want to thank everybody who went out to Facebook and Twitter to leave messages and leave questions. Folks, I'll leave you with this. If you are not following NFL Rants and Raves on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, get on out there. I hope to have more pictures posted from training camps, especially I'll be going out to Dallas Cowboys and San Diego Charger game, first preseason game on Thursday. Hopefully post some pictures from that. If you don't know our social media handles, go to www.nflrnr.com so you can get the Twitter handles for Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram and start following us. Week one is upon us. Week one of the preseason, that is. They start with several games on Thursday. And don't forget, fantasy football signups, just a couple of teams left. Most leagues are filled up, but if you want to take a shot at bringing me down, feel free to go out there and sign up to play fantasy football against me. I'd like to thank my guest, Luke Bowanko of the Jacksonville Jaguars, for coming on, and all of the Dallas Cowboys, head coach Jason Garrett, Jason Witten, and Brandon Whedon for taking the time and talking to me during training camp. That's all the time I've got. I'm Steven Miranda, and I'm out. Thank you.